I know. All right, this is December 5th. Gosh, 2021. There's a lot of people in this world that they view God as a genie in a bottle. When they have a problem, they start calling and whatever they can to get the answer to what they need. But there's not many that have relationships. I'd like for you to change your mindset, challenge you to change your mindset. It'll help you in your trials. Quit taking it personal. You're in a war. And whenever you view it the way it is to be viewed, that it's an onslaught of the enemy, it's an attack of the enemy, it's not something wrong with you or anything lacking in you. This is the enemy. We are in a war. I sent both of you the video by Juan O'Savin. It's under your telegram on yours. And he was on Prime Minister's show, and he's talking about the Gideon army, but he started saying some things, and when he was speaking, I realized he's talking about this ministry and many others he's raising up. He's talking about God is raising up ministries right now, that they are people that know how to teach people how to be in Gideon's army. How they're a remnant, but still, they know their authority in Christ, because this battle that has come against us cannot only be won physically.
The president, you know.
It has to be won spiritually. So I encourage you to listen. It is well worth it. To me, I thought, Lord. In fact, back in 1994, there was a woman in our first group that we had, and one Sunday morning, she had a word from the Lord. Just like Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. We're fixing to start the trek out. We have not started yet. Do you realize that? We are fixing to, because things are changing in this nation, and people are going to start leaving Babylon. They're coming out. And it's these people. He's talking about healings and things. He said, I'm not talking about people just talk a good talk, but people that have the power of God in manifestation like Jesus did. I mean, everything he said, I said, Lord, that's us. And there's many more like us that are fixing to arise. So any hardship you're going through, write it down as your training. God used different methods for each one of us, but it's all been for training for Gideon's army. He brings out in there, which was really good, about the 300 that were chosen were the ones that when they were tired and hot and needed a drink, they didn't fall down like the rest of them and lap water like a dog, but they were like this. They were looking. They were scouting out. They never let their guard down for a minute. They're like this all the time. That's the Gideon's army. They don't relax their hold. They don't ever relax anything because they're on high alert at all times because they know the enemy's out there and he's trying to target. And the physical things that come against you, I know this. I know the Lord has shown me what I have gone through as far as physical things. The Lord has shown me when you experience these things, you've come into contact with demonic entities, and this is the reaction that it does on your body. But I'm showing you, when you walk into a place or something happens and you experience that, you know what you're experiencing. There's nothing wrong with you. It's demons coming against you. See, quit taking it so personally. You'll walk around. Does that look like somebody we want in our military? Mr. and Miss Sad Sack? No. The joy of the Lord is our strength and stronghold. You know it? the joy of the Lord. We are an elect group, a chosen special forces, if you want to call it that, for this day and this hour. That's why God, that's why we've been through what we've been through most of our life, for this place and time. And we're going to bring people out of the strongholds of their minds. And it's not going to just be two of you or three of you or whatever. It's going to be masses. And I want to talk to you this morning, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is Mental Decline is Satan's Tactic. Mental decline. This is when you faint in your mind. You begin to faint in your mind because of the weariness. The Lord's been speaking to us for a few weeks now on not being weary in well-doing. You shall reap if you faint not. All right, I'll just give you what the Lord gave me. Physical decline is a result of mental decline. Now get a picture of that. I really had your husband come up to me. He needs to be challenged. You know what I'm saying? Giving up mentally leads to giving up spiritually and physically. But our battle is not flesh and blood, but mental assault from demonic entities. Putting on the whole armor of God shows this plainly. We're going to look at that right quick. Ephesians chapter 6. I think once you're a warrior, you can't be anything else. And not everybody's called to do that. Everybody, yes, needs to kick the devil out of their own life, but as far as strategic, battle plans, that's for the military. God's military. Plans to take out the devil, strongholds. All right, Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Didn't say anything about physically strong. It just talking here about be strong in the Lord. Well, how are you strong in the Lord? That's spiritual strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Every piece of armor is the word. Just think about that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's coming against you, whatever physical symptom you may be having come against your body, realize you're not wrestling with a symptom or with a sickness. You're wrestling with a demonic entity. Jesus took all sickness and disease for all time, for all mankind. But, and that's why when the devil's put in the pit, there won't be any more of that. There'll be people living long lifespans. There won't be anything that harms and hurts. It's because the one that harms and hurts is going to be gone. So God's natural way will just kick in. No, God's going to come and change it all. No, the devil's thrown in the pit. That changes it all. And the way things really are will be in manifestation. Nothing will be there to hinder it anymore. See, right now we have blockades that we have to break through. This is what Ephesians 6 is all about. We're breaking through blockades of these principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Why? Heaven on earth, or in earth, however you want to say it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Oh, it didn't say here physical symptoms. It said principalities. Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what's causing all the problems in the earth. This is what has caused men to be wicked and be manipulated and do the awful, horrible things that they do. These entities. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It seems like it's every day now. Every minute of every day sometimes. And night. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What's that? Truth about what the word says. Not what's coming against you, not what you're standing against, but what God's word says about the situation. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, that, you know, no guilt trip here. Well, what have I done wrong? Why am I experiencing this? Well, I must have done something wrong. Well, I said something I shouldn't have said. Blah, 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 blah. You hear it? Just rhetoric. He sees you as righteous. Danny had a word a few weeks ago, and the part to me was about, you thought you've missed it. You thought you failed so much at times because you thought, well, I didn't act the way I should have, or I quit. And the Lord said, I don't see any fault in you. He's the accuser. Anything. That's another one of his tactics. If he can get you down in the mouth and laying on the floor, and you're not standing, are you? See, he's trying to kick you down mentally, because this is where it comes against us. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you know that you're righteous, then you got peace. There's your stand right there. Above all, taking the shield of faith. See, and this will not hinder, your faith will not be hindered when mentally you know you're righteous and you know you have that peace and you can speak in faith and believe it and not be hindered. And the demons know it. They know. This is the best part. They know. We got to stop them. We're absolutely going to not have any place left if they don't quit. That's why they come against you the way they do. Recognize it is what it is. Get that old religious indoctrination thinking out of your mind that you come up believing. Well, the Lord will heal you if you pay your tithe and if you'll do all these things. Well, you know what I noticed about Jesus? He didn't care what walk of life they were from, how much of a sinner they were. He'd heal them, then he'd teach them. He didn't condemn them and then heal them. There ain't any condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So much ministry nowadays is, well, you know, if you do this and so and so and so, then yeah, maybe God might, you know, think about helping you. No. He has chosen to not see your sin. He chose to take care of it. Past, present, future. So when he sees you, he sees himself. He sees righteousness. God's Son. That's what he sees. Why are you mentally letting the devil mop the floor with you? It's a choice, you know. You sorry so-and-so, get the heck out of here. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have no rights here. Just get on about your business. Go bother. There's plenty more that'll hear you all day long and cry and, you know, all that mess. Go on, go invite them to your pity party. There's no room for pity. I'm telling you, and this is one thing that I heard Keith Moore say. You need to guard feeling sorry for yourself. We never feel sorry for ourselves or our situation. See, that's that mental decline. Because it's all about renewing the mind so that we can be what? Well, we can know God's will. But if we choose to give into that other, we forget who we are. Kind of like the dog to the vomit. Here we go again, back to the hog trough of life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, That's the only way your faith's going to work in this right, upright position, stable, at peace, knowing who you are. Even Juan brought that out. I was real impressed with the things that Juan said. There were some things I didn't agree with, but most of it. I'm thinking, Lord, that's us, that's us, that's us. Wherein you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. In other words, you're not intimidated anymore. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't you see the chosen in Gideon's army? Perseverance, always watching, looking, always on their guard, like the watchman on the wall. All right. Right here, the loins out of the Strong's. The loin, externally the hip, internally procreative power. Physically the hip, spiritually procreative power. And what does that come from? Well, we've got it in here, but this will prevent it. If you don't get that, if you don't got that helmet on, all right. The vine says here, the Greek word osphos, as the seat of generative power, of girding the loins in readiness for active service for the Lord, bracing up oneself so as to maintain perfect sincerity and reality as the counteractive in Christian character against hypocrisy and falsehood, girding the loins of the mind, girding, suggestive of the alertness necessary for sobriety and for setting one's hope perfectly on the grace to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So girding up the loins of your mind, right there. That's what it is. In the days that we live in, and the beast system with its mockingbird media network, or better, the image of the beast, through television and social media, etc., they are blasting 24/7 their falsehood to brainwash the people. This is where we cannot allow ourselves to get into this fray. We cannot allow what they spout, even if they're truthers. A lot of them are negative. We must stand our ground mentally, physically, and not back down and take the beast down. I remember seeing a movie with Jack Nicholson in it. You know, he plays a good psycho. But anyway, he's sitting at this piano and he starts to sing this song, playing it, and there's this little dog over there that just melts his heart, Burdell. Anyway, he's singing, "Always look at the bright side of life." And I've had that come over and over to me when I start feeling down. I get out there and walk around my flowers and I go, "Always look at the bright side of life." It is a choice. You can look at the dark, wring your hands, say, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do?" Or you can switch gears. It takes you to a new place, a heavenly place, where answers come. All right. That was just page one. All right. It is hard right now, but we cannot let ourselves give into the weariness of it. We are in a battle. How can we keep the weariness off of us? Here is an excellent thing to do. All right. Romans 8. We're going to just read this chapter because it's just, it's really about what I'm talking about. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." That's key. You will not be condemned. You will not go through the accusations. You will not go through these things if You're walking in the spirit. But if you're in the flesh, that's where the devil will target you. And how do you get in the flesh? Mental. That's where it starts. It may end up being a fleshly thing you do, but it starts right there. It's a thought. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's no room, no place for the devil to accuse you in your mind of anything. I don't care if you did do something. The Lord has a way of speaking to you about it in a corrective, loving way to effect a change, but not an accusation. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We cannot walk in the kingdom of God and walk in the flesh, even though we're going to see a physical world that is the kingdom of God. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This will locate you. Your reactions, how you're feeling, how you're taking care of things, how you're handling things. You slouching around like you're about half dead. Listen to me. I want you to remember this the next time you're slouching around half dead. Acting half dead. Like you ain't learned nothing. You ain't got no learning at all. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You've put your mind to it. That's what got you there. We all know better. Dog to the vomit. That old ways you want to go back to. Like the Pentecostals boo-hooing and crying. And nothing against the Pentecostals, but it's kind of their way. You know, it don't help anything. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Total different mindset. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This goes good with the armor of God, doesn't it? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God can't help you in that state. I don't know what I'm going to do. God can't help you in that state. He will not help you in that state. He might be touched with the feeling of your infirmities, but he'll wait till you get over your blowing your nose and a box of Kleenexes later. He will say, okay, now are you ready for me to show you what to do after you've had your little, you know what? Oh, I'm even here. Because this is where God's leading us is life. That's why. It goes against the grain. Few find that straight and narrow path, but many are on the broad path. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, just like David had encouraged himself in the Lord when all his army was turning against him. He encouraged himself. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We know what pleases God. What? Tell me. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, we've been renewed and regenerated in Christ to live heaven on earth, regardless if we're seeing it manifested in the earth right now or not. We can still. The kingdom of God comes without observation, but the kingdom of God's in you. And that's what Wanda's talking about. It's time for the manifestations of the Son of God, the sons of God. The earth is groaning to see the manifestation of the sons of God. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. See, it's all about the Spirit. It's all about who you are in the Spirit, not what you are in the flesh. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not the ones that walk after the flesh. Does God love them? Yes, he does. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, I like to say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we're looking to our spirit, it's always yes. The answer's here. Yes, peace. No blame. Yes. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. It makes your flesh suffer because you walk in the Spirit. The devil targets your emotions, mind, will, emotions, and your body. That's where he comes against you. But even that, he can't do anything to the body if he hasn't got this. I remember that, never forget, Brother Copeland talking about pain starts as a thought. It is a mental thing. That there's a thought there first before that shows up. And if you give, attention to it or whatever. See, that's why the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Thinking about it, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, no. Sometimes you don't have to say anything much more than that. Just resist. You have to resist. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, we don't just go through this hard time. There's a glory part of it. It's coming. Payday is coming. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I just said that. Yep. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, this is a key for helping us to be strong mentally. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you're weary and you're going through some things, that's the time to pray more in the Spirit, because that's where you need the strength, is you're in your spirit, to help you stand, get over the hump. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows exactly how to pray with the situation you're going through. He knows everything about it, so he's praying that. He's connecting with your spirit. He's praying that perfect will. And we know that all things work together for good. Why? How do we know that? Because when the Spirit prays, he's praying God's perfect will. So we know it will turn out for good. People pull that that I cringe every time I hear them pull it out of context. Well, you know, all things work together for good. Well, no, not necessarily. Not in that situation. Not if you don't go by the formula here. There's a context for that scripture, and it needs to be taken in the context. That's for those who pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take hold together with them to pray the perfect will of God through them. Then you can say that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not to do their own thing. His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, we're supposed to be just like Him, acting like Him, doing what He did. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He doesn't want us fretting about things. He wants us resting in the fact that He supplies. He's going to do it. And we don't put our mind to it and get ourselves down in the mouth about things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Nobody can say anything against you. Let them accuse if they want to. It ain't going to stick. It's not going to stick. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? I mean, we can't lose. Look who's interceding for us. You think he's not aware of what you're going through? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Oh, there's a new variant. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yeah, to the deep state we are. That's their agenda. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Lord reinstated to me twice this week. They were talking about in Germany, in Austria, and how those lockdowns and how it's like concentration camps and all this stuff you're hearing. But also what they're not telling you is that military's in there using the rods of God, blowing up domes. And they want everybody off the street. So this is what the Lord spoke to me, March 2020. This is a military operation. COVID is nothing but a scam. It is not real. They've never isolated the virus because there ain't ever been one. In fact, there's no such thing. And so it's being used to lock people down, get them off the streets, to carry out this military operation. And if you'll keep that in mind, it don't matter what new whatever they make up, it's not going to affect you. You'll go, I know what's going on. I've got inside information. Yeah. Nay, and all these things are more than conquerors through him that led us, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? Love never fails. We need to keep that in mind. All right, what is mental decline? Mental exhaustion caused from persistent stress. Like natural soldiers come home with chronic fatigue syndrome. Now they drug them all up, but they're just exhausted. Probably the best thing for them would be to rest. All right, this is the way of the world and Satan is the god of it. In the kingdom of God, there is no such things. There is no such thing. All right, I want to read a few scriptures to you here. This is Psalms 92. Can y'all feel it building you up? I feel it. 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The palm trees around here, there's quite a few. And through this Arctic thing we had last January, it looked like it killed them all out. But they come back. So he says, we shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him. So in God, there is no seniors. There isn't any of that. Not in God. And we're going to look at some scriptures that show you that because you need to know this. Because you can hardly turn on the television. Used to on Sunday, it was geriatric commercials constantly making you feel like the most decrepit thing. When you're 40, they start sending you AARP stuff and all this stuff to try to get you to die, get you to be old, get you to think old. Don't let that old age thinking get in your mind. I don't care how old you are. That's mental decline. Oh, they're acting like they got Alzheimer's and dementia and all this stuff. Don't believe that. Don't buy into that narrative. It's a genocidal narrative. It's not God. All right, Deuteronomy 34:7. Don't get this thinking, well, look how old I am, and you know, it's been so many years, and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, God has a way of picking them when they're old, or they think they're old, and using them for his glory. At least when they're older, they got a little bit of sense. Dear Lord. All right, Deuteronomy 34:7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. God took him to the mountain. He climbed a mountain, and he actually saw the children of Israel down there. Now, somebody that's 120 today, just picture it, how differently God sees things. What has caused us to be in the state that most people are today? Mental decline. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know about youth renewal. They don't know about those kind of things. Okay. Job was hit with an onslaught of tragedy, and his wife said to him, this is Job 2:9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. That's mental decline, y'all. All right, I'm going to let you. Job did not curse God, and Job did not die. Let's look at Job 42. In fact, she had to have 10 more kids. She still got the payback on her. Going, dear Lord, after having 10 kids, having 10 more, maybe got a new wife. I don't know. All right, 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, because they were mean to him when he was going through such hard times. He prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He got double for his trouble. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, all that they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought, which the Lord didn't bring it. We know who did. Upon him every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Kiriath-Hapuk. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. So he went through a short space of trial, some say about 9 months to a year. But look what happened. All right, God's word is not just pie in the sky. It isn't just an illusion. It is actually what is real. Everything you and I see is actually Satan's illusion. If you will keep that perspective, it will help you keep moving forward and stay mentally alert. See, we're living under an illusion. It's like the old Star Trek adventures. You remember the one with Captain Pike? He was in that wheelchair thing, being kept alive. And that woman that was in that crash, these alien beings helped them live in an illusion, like she was beautiful and he was restored and all of that stuff. Well, think about that. That's kind of a mirror there. Except it's the kingdom of God. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. All right, Psalms 23. God's with us. He doesn't leave us. Whatever you're going through, He's with you there. We saw that last week when we talked about the three Hebrew children. He went into the fire with them. He went into the lion's den with Daniel. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There is the mental place, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This world system is the shadow of death. It's Satan's spook house. Think about it. As a kid, I used to hate to go to spook houses because they'd always try to tickle you on the ankles and stuff as you walk by. You know, anything to scare you. But it was all an illusion. It wasn't real. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is all while you're walking through the illusion. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're just walking through Satan's spook house. The Lord is leading us through it, and we just need to keep following Him, and He will bring us through it. This time in our history, that's been, you know, everybody's saying, everybody's fed up. They're just fed up. Even the programmers, they're just fed up. Don't give me any more hopium. Just do it. Just get on with it. Oh, thank you, Lord. You talk about mental decline. The whole world, because of Satan's scamdemic, has so suppressed people. What do you think the masks are all about? There's a woman, I forget her name, and she was in the sex trafficking for many years, and she said when they would sexually abuse them, they would make them wear a mask. It's a sign of submission to their control. And it also has to do with their satanic rituals. So this mask wearing has nothing to do with keeping you germ free. All right. They torture them and all of those kind of things and make them wear a mask while doing it. And during the slave trade, they would make them wear a mask. And it meant you are not to say a word until you're spoken to and you're asked something. All right. Wikipedia. This is Project MK Ultra. It was the code name of an illegal human experimentation program designed and undertaken by the US CIA. The experiments were intended to develop procedures and identify drugs such as LSD that could be used in interrogations to weaken individuals and force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture. This is exactly the devil's game, and it's going on right now. We have to guard our hearts. They've used it through Mockingbird Media, through the image of the beast. All right, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word heart there means feelings, the will, and the intellect. Everything of God's kingdom is different than that of the God of this world system. God's ways are not their ways. Their ways are not God's ways. I put here, the financial system is different, the medical system is different, and his retirement system is different. Do not let your mind dwell on any of the God of this world system. How? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. On and on it goes. Age does not matter when it comes to God's plans for you, so don't make it a problem. He chose you to be born when you were. He chose you for the work that he's called you to do. He will preserve you and keep you until that job is done, no matter what age you are. It has no, what's age got to do with it? Nothing. Nothing. But if you think like this world system, well, they put you out to pasture at 65. Okay, we're going to look at a few things in Genesis. This is Genesis chapter 15. Now we know the story of Abram and Sarah, or Sarai. Now he called Abraham out. I think Abraham was about 75, I think, when he called him out of the Chaldees. It says here, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here's a guy, 75 years old, doesn't have any children. The Lord's saying, Look to the sky. There's your descendants. He's going, Say what? Okay, 16, chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord restraineth me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. What happened here? Mental decline. He had God's promise. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur, and said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, Whence came thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Well, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That's what happens when we go in the flesh. Backfire. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For he said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beer. Hagar bore Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So this caused a delay. I mean, it caused a delay, the getting in the flesh. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, for as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So he reinstates a father of many nations. All right, go to 18. And the Lord appeared in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are we come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened unto the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Have you ever done that, Lord? Why didn't you let me do this when I was in 40? You know? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Thou didst laugh at the plan of God. Okay, 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I bore him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Yeah. See, mental decline causes you to get in the flesh and to start doing things based on your weariness, losing sight of what God has said. That's why we have to stay sharp. All right, Galatians 4, basically the same story. But what was good for that day is good for this day. All right, let me find it. Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. See, one after the flesh, one after the spirit. But he who was of the bondman woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai, an Arabian answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. The way of the flesh is bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. See, there's just a remnant that walk by faith. Everybody else just follows the way of the flesh. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was of the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So after I had finished that in Genesis, Sarah did, after Isaac was being ugly to Isaac. She told Abraham, get them out of here. They're not going to inherit. He's not going to inherit with my son. And it grieved Abraham. He loved him, but he did it. Sometimes we want to hang on to the ways of the flesh, but we can't. We have to let them go. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't have mental decline and start acting that way and expect to see your answers by faith. You cannot. Or receive the promise. You cannot. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Was this just for Abraham? Aren't we his heirs? We're heirs according to promise? All right. Galatians 3:9. When you begin to see yourself slip and pray. All right, let's read Galatians 3:9, then I'll say that. Okay. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Another scripture says we are heirs according to promise. When you begin to see yourself slip, pray in the Spirit, get in the Word of God, and keep yourself mentally fit so you will not suffer from mental decline. Because when you get away from praying in the Spirit, you get away from the Word, you begin to slip back into, you know, where the pigs live.